The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. It's brought to you by Network Championship Weekend. Boys State Finals for the 114th time coming up tomorrow at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. We'll talk about those games. Plus, Purdue's big win in NCAA tournament play against Gonzaga. Pacers win. Lots to talk about. Right now, though, the man who has all of that information, important information, he's the star of our show, it's Network Indiana's Corbin Lingenfelter.
Thank you, Coach. It's great to be with you here on what has been a great night for college and professional basketball across the state of Indiana. The Indiana Pacers were 109-90 winners over the Los Angeles Lakers. Indiana had led each quarter throughout the game. The best quarter was the third quarter, putting up 32 points alone in that one. Now, the Pacers did give this game up to be within 7, but they were able to hold on. Pascal Siakam postgame, talking with Pat Boylan on the Pacers radio network.
Just kept playing together, getting some stops. I think obviously the game in LA, we knew what we had to do. We just came out, executed, and got a win.
That they did. Indiana wins 109-90 over the Lakers, 1-2 on the season against the team from Los Angeles in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Over in men's college basketball, Purdue is off to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2019. Purdue is winners 80-68 over fifth-seeded Gonzaga. Zach Edey had 27 points and 14 rebounds in the game, as Braden Smith followed with 14 points, 15 assists, and 8 rebounds. The other game that happened and has gone to finals so far, 11th-seeded NC State is off to the Elite Eight, 67-58, over 2nd-seeded Marquette, an upset in the Sweet 16. NC State is the only remaining double-digit-seeded team. They're also on a 10-game winning streak dating back to the ACC tournament earlier on in March. Other games that have tipped off so far: Houston is up 6 points on Duke, 6-0. And then the game that Purdue fans are going to be watching: second-seeded Tennessee taking on third-seeded Creighton. That game's estimated to tip off around 10:10. The winner of that game will face Purdue in the Elite Eight on Sunday. Over in women's college hoops, it was not a good day for Indiana schools. Fourth-seeded Indiana falls to the top-seeded South Carolina, 79-75, and third-seeded Oregon State gets the upset win over second-seeded Notre Dame, 70-65. The other game that has gone final in the women's bracket for today: third-seeded NC State upsets second-seeded Stanford, 77-67. One more women's game in action for you this evening around 10:06. Fourth-seeded Gonzaga taking on top-seeded Texas. That's in the fourth region in Portland. Taking a look at some games happening tomorrow at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. In Class 1A, Fort Wayne Canterbury is taking on Bethesda Christian. Tip-off for that one is coming around 10:30 a.m. In Class 2A, Wapahani is taking on Brownstown Central, estimated around 12:45. In 3A, it's South Bend St. Joseph taking on Scottsburg. That game's at 6 p.m. And one of the biggest matchups of the season, Fishers and Ben Davis for the 4A state title, tipping off around 8:15. Looking at your college basketball schedule coming up tomorrow in the Elite Eight for the other side of the bracket, third-seeded Illinois will look for an upset over top-seeded UConn. And if I told you this game back in January and it was bowl season for football, you'd probably believe me. But sixth-seeded Clemson is taking on fourth-seeded Alabama. That game is expected to tip off around 8:49 on TBS. Over in the women's side of things, in the Elite Eight, third-seeded LSU is taking on UCLA. Colorado is facing against Iowa, Baylor and USC, and Duke and UConn. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Brendan King joins me. You know Brendan King. You're going to hear him tomorrow night. Scoreboard updates. Superstar. Also the voice of the South Bend Cubs. And we're talking baseball. All right, what's happening baseball-wise? Tell me about my Cubs. My South Bend Cubs opening day is soon, is it not?
Coming right up, Coach. Can't wait. And had my last tune-up today. I did the Indiana State baseball game. We can talk that a little bit later if you'd like. But, yeah, as for the South Bend Cubs, I'm looking forward to it, Coach. Tomorrow is my last show with you for the spring. Of course, I'll be back in May.
Oh, no.
Forward to that.
Oh, no, my heart. I have heart problems, and so I'm having heart problems hearing this bad news. Oh, no.
Well, the good news is 1 week from tonight, I'll be calling you from Davenport, Iowa, and I'll be talking about South Bend Cubs opening day. So that's a week from now. We open out in Davenport right on the Mississippi River there, and that's coming right up. So it's going to be a busy next week, Coach. I report to South Bend on Monday. The team arrives from Arizona on Tuesday. They'll have their media day and practice day and everything to gear up and size for uniforms and everything. And then Thursday we'll travel out to Iowa, and Friday we play. It's going to be fun.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. But let's talk about the Sycamores baseball team. Who did they play today?
First of a three-game series, Coach, with UIC, the Flames, who are out to a terrific start in the Missouri Valley. Of course, UIC, one of the newer Valley teams. So it's a series that has not had a whole lot of history to it, but two talented teams, Coach. I mean, UIC, they were picked eighth in the Missouri Valley preseason poll, but they're out to a 16-8 start.
Right.
They earlier in the season, they had a series win against Kansas. They beat Purdue earlier in the year, so definitely a capable opponent for Indiana State. And it was a heck of a game, Coach. Indiana State wins at 10-6, but the box score won't tell you that UIC led 6-0 after two innings, and Indiana State scored 10 to go win it. So it was a game that featured a whole lot of offense, five home runs combined between the two teams. Wind was blowing out at Bob Warren Field, and it was good.
Wow. I know everybody's fired up about baseball, but I'm sure there was some basketball talk while you were there, was there not?
You know what's funny is between innings, I did a advertisement read because it was an ESPN Plus game. I did a read about the NIT Final Four at Hinkle Fieldhouse. So, yeah, you get a little exposure on the baseball broadcast. And, I think a lot of people are excited because the Utah Utes are coming in and, you know, they're a power packed team. I know their coach, Craig Smith, actually. So that's a great matchup, Craig Smith and Josh Schertz. And, you know, of course, Coach, the conversation is as much as it's exciting that Indiana State is in the NIT Final Four. I know a lot of people are kind of crossing their fingers as to hoping Josh Schertz sticks around. Plenty of rumors about what may happen after the NIT finishes up. And, you know, I think Sycamore fans they've enjoyed this year, but they'd love to see it happen again. Obviously, if Josh Schertz goes elsewhere, they're still a talented team, and there's a shot at that. But that guy's one of the best young coaches in the country, and I know people would like to keep him in Terre Haute.
It's a captivating story, without question. And you just hope that they're able to continue their magical run on Tuesday night against Utah and then beyond to wrap it up. But to get to the Final Four at Hinkle, that's quite an accomplishment. All right, so you got baseball. You got a lot of baseball going on, right? And you mentioned Indiana State baseball and UIC. South Bend Cubs, tell me about the Cubs. Tell me what you're going to be telling me on Friday and Saturday nights when you're talking to us after big wins.
Yeah, well, I know you're short on time, so I'll keep it concise at least for this segment. But I think, if anything, it is a youth movement for the roster we're going to see. Now, we have not received our roster yet. We'll probably get that on Monday. But if anything, at least you could tell from last year's A-ball team in Myrtle Beach, the average age of that infield and outfield was 20. The Cubs have the number two ranked farm system in the country, Coach, as ranked per MLB.com. So it has the feel of 2016 when, you know, these kids are finally getting up to the big league level, and there's still plenty more to come. So I have high hopes for this year for South Bend.
You're going to miss all the fun tomorrow at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the state finals.
Well, the good news is I'm in with you tomorrow night, so we'll get to talk about it.
All right, hang on through this short break. We'll come back, talk more with Brendan King on Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Corbin Linkenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. Starting off in the NCAA Women's Sweet 16, Indiana may have covered the spread, but they came up 4 points short against top-seeded South Carolina. 79-75, the final there in Albany, New York in Region 1. Also an upset for the University of Notre Dame. They fell to Oregon State 70-65. NC State, the only other game that has gone final so far in the women's regional round, 77-67 over Stanford. Games that are happening now: fourth-seeded Gonzaga trails by one to top-seeded Texas, 8-7, 4:35 left to go in the first quarter. In the men's bracket, Purdue got their chance to move on to Elite Eight against Gonzaga, 80-68. This is the first time since 2019 that Purdue has advanced to the Elite Eight. The other game that's gone final, 11th-seeded NC State pulls up an upset over second-ranked Marquette, 67-58. NC State, 10 games they've won so far, going back to the ACC tournament back in early March. Other games happening right now: fourth-seeded Duke trails by 3 to top-seeded Houston, 10-7. Creighton is up on Tennessee, 5-2. The Indiana Pacers 109-90 winners over Los Angeles. The Pacers now have the 6th seed in the playoffs, one game back from Orlando. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. We wrap it up with Brendan King. All right, so South Bend Cubs, the 12th on the road. In Iowa, you're playing. Who do you play?
Yeah, Coach, we open this coming Friday, the 5th, in Davenport against one of the better names in our league, the Quad Cities River Bandits. You may remember their logo
is a
raccoon with a scarf on, and it's a terrific logo.
That's one of your favorite logos, is it? Now, what's your other favorite one?
Well, I know your personal favorite is the Beloit Skycarp.
Oh, that's it. No, there's no question.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on that T-shirt and hat you promised me. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll come this year. Don't worry.
I'll get you in a South Bend Cubs shirt first before a Beloit shirt. Come on now.
Well, there's that. There is that. That does work. Okay. So, I can't believe we're actually going to be starting to talk about. I mean, it's already opening day in the big. So, yeah, we got baseball to talk about. So we're going to talk about it tomorrow night, okay? You, me, you're in tomorrow for the last time. We'll try to suffer through that once you leave. Brendan King, voice of the South Bend Cubs, scoreboard update extraordinaire tomorrow night. Brendan, be safe. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Coach. See you tomorrow.
Let's talk some high school basketball, the 114th Indiana Boys Basketball State Finals tomorrow at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. What a great day it will be on the IHSAA Champions Radio Network. Pete Smith will be doing the 3A and 4A games. Pete Smith, congratulations. A tremendous honor bestowed upon you earlier in the week. A belated congratulations from me for your induction into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame.
Well, good evening, Coach. Thank you very much. I'm so grateful and very humbled, and I just think of all the great coaches that have coached that don't get an honor like this, and I'm very blessed, and I appreciate your thanks.
Listen, when I got the call in 2018, I was totally bewildered. The process is what people don't understand. There's a long, involved process to get to that point, to be inducted into it. You clearly deserve it. You had a tremendous – everywhere you went in your career, you had success. And I mean success, not just winning games, but success in championships. But tremendous people who still leave impacts on their communities. And so, to me, it was a no-brain decision for people. But I know it was quite a week for you and your family. And I understand it. I felt the same way. But what a great honor for you.
Yeah, you hit it on the nail on the head there. It was a great week, a lot of fun. I loved all the communities and coaching stops that I got to make. When I left North Manchester in 1991, if I would have known that Class Sports was coming up a few years later, that was we had a hotbed at that time. But, you know, as a coach, and you remember this, as a coach, you think, okay, we can't get out of this Fort Wayne Regional. We're just a little bit too small, right, maybe, these other schools, and let's try it at Noblesville. And I went to Noblesville, and you just kind of move up the ladder. And then I found my sweet spot when Garen Catholic opened. And, you know, I thought if Jack Kiefer can start a program from scratch and do pretty well, maybe I can too. So worked out really well.
You did okay. I mean, a couple of championships and a great foundation, which allowed them to win another one. So I think you did what you had to do and what you set out to do.
Well, I set out to do it because Eric Anderson, my AD and the former IU star, I told him, I'll do this for a couple of years, get it going, you know. But then, you know, I taught in the Carmel system still, and I had some business interests on the side. But then I really just fell in love with the school, and it reminded me of a small school atmosphere. And I think I thrive better in the small schools where I can know all the kids in the whole school. I'm a relationship kind of guy, as you know.
As I know. All right, now let's turn our attention to your work tomorrow on the Champions Network. You're going to be doing the Scottsburg South Bend St. Joe game for the 3A title. It should be an awful lot of fun in that one. And you are working with, on that game, Brian Jennings, a great baseball mind, great guy. And in the 4A game, you're going to be working with John Herrick, one of the greatest young announcers, broadcasters in our state, in the Midwest, on the Ben Davis Fishers matchup. Let's talk about Scottsburg and South Bend St. Joe. You got a long, lean South Scottsburg team, likes to zone with the length of South Bend St. Joe team that would rather get out and play up and down a little bit. So you have a little stylistic difference to some respect in this matchup in 3A.
You're right. It's a very different style. This Scottsburg team I'm very familiar with because they beat Garen Catholic, my former school, last week in the semi-state, 70-54. Not a very deep team, only like to play about six guys, but they all shoot it really, really well. And they're 15th in state in defensive average, only giving up 42.3 points a game. So comparison, you got South Bend St. Joe, that's 13th in the state in scoring average, averaging just a hair over 68 points a game, and a team that, you know, really came onto their own once the tournament, once they got that upset. I call it an upset because they lost to Mishawaka Marion during the regular season. That mm-hmm. is such a big mm-hmm. rivalry up there in Michiana. But they came back and thumped them pretty good in the sectional. And they've just kind of built on that momentum to get to 20 wins now and had an unbelievable game to win that semi-state, as you probably talked about last Saturday, to beat Delta 44-41 in three overtimes. So different types of styles. St. Joe goes much deeper. Their sixth and seventh men are their fourth and sixth leading scorers on the team. So they're going to get into their bench and play a lot. Meanwhile, Scottsburg just has Bowling usually come off the bench and give them some minutes, but they trust on those starters. They've got a big man in Wyatt Zeller, 6'9" senior. He's not really a big man. He plays on the floor, but he's the new style big man nowadays, Coach.
Right, right. You won a couple championships. What's the secret? I mean, clearly it's more than just a championship game, but to get to this point, you understand how difficult the journey is, and it's a great thrill. And how difficult is it to manage the entire week and all the celebrations and hoopla around getting into Saturday's action?
It is a challenge. It is because – you know, you get, I don't want to say they get full of themselves, but, you know, they're getting fired up and they're thinking they're pretty good. And you don't want to dampen that confidence, but you also got to keep pointing out that we had, you know, especially in the tournament, your margin for error is very little. And you can't turn the ball over. You've got a defensive rebound. You've got to not do things you haven't practiced all year. Do the things that got you here, and don't try to do more than you can. And luckily, I had a couple teams that really did a great job with that, and I had a couple that faltered at a couple other schools that I thought could really make runs. So I think I learned when I was a younger coach maybe some things I would have done better when it came to regional preparation and things like that. But and it's a long week. My gosh, they've had 2 weeks before they played a game,
right,
because of the – NCAA tournament. So I didn't have to go through that, luckily. I've had to go through, finish the season on a Tuesday and don't play again until a week from Friday when you get that bye. But two whole weeks of, you know, hey, we'd like to have the team over here, and hey, will the team come out and, you know, read to the
right
second graders out
right
here and stuff? And, well, we're trying to concentrate
right
a basketball game too, so.
Well, you know, I talked to all the coaches about it, and you know, as you can imagine, there are people at different views. Some were just happy, you know, the team had been, you know, beaten up and some injuries and illnesses and all that. They were just glad to have the time off and be away from it. And others were just not really sure exactly what they were going to do. And I'm not sure there's a magic formula. I think we all understand about, you know, the game being a game of rhythm, but once they toss it up for real, you know, you get over the time off within the first couple of minutes, and all that fades away.
Absolutely right, and in some ways it can benefit you, you know, going to the 4A game real quick. I mean, Keenan Gardner hurt his ankle with about five
right
minutes to go in that regional game, and I'm good friends with Garrett Weiniger. We both went to the same high school, so I've kind of followed them and been to their practice, and it really has helped him to get his ankle back to shape, and he should be about 95% tomorrow, but having those 2 weeks off. But so it does give you some rest. You know, I can – hey, it does
yeah
give you
hey
some
Pete
rest, but
yeah,
I think
hey
the coach
Pete
is managing.
Pete.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need you to hang on. Can you hang on through this scoreboard update?
For Coach Bob Lovell, you bet.
Yeah, yeah. I will come back and talk about the 4A championship game with him. Pete Smith, just inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame on the IHSA Champions Network tomorrow. We're back after this.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update as we take a look around the NCAA, starting off with men's college basketball. Right now, Houston is up on Duke 16-10, and the game that Purdue fans are watching, Creighton trailing Tennessee 16-14 now. Earlier on, Purdue advances on to the Elite Eight, 80-68 over Gonzaga. North Carolina State upset Marquette 67-58. In women's college basketball, Texas is up on Gonzaga 18-9 in the Sweet 16 for the fourth region in Portland. The Indiana Hoosiers fell to top-seeded South Carolina 79-75. Now coming into the game, the Hoosiers were 15.5-point underdogs, but they cut that down to 4 to cover the spread. Third-seeded Oregon State upsets Notre Dame 70-65, and North Carolina State upsets Stanford 77-67. Over in the Class 1A state championship coming up tomorrow. Fort Wayne Canterbury is taking on Bethesda Christian at 10:30. In Class 2A, Wapahani is facing off against Brownstown Central at 12:45. In Class 3A, South Bend St. Joseph is facing Scottsburg at 6. And Class 4A, Fishers is facing off against Ben Davis. Hey, make sure to follow us on Twitter at IND Sports Talk. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. State finals tomorrow in boys basketball, the 4A matchup between Ben Davis and Fishers. With me again, recently inducted into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, Pete Smith. We'll be calling the 3A and 4A games on the radio portion of the IHSA Champions Network. And Pete, tell me about this rematch between Ben Davis and Fishers. They played each other in the first game of the season. This should be a tremendous nightcap to a great day of basketball.
It should be. I'm really excited about it. You can throw the first game out because Mark Zachary didn't play. He was still playing football for the Giants right on the gridiron, but he's such a big difference for this basketball team. He's MVP of the Hall of Fame Classic last year when he was only a freshman, or sophomore, I should say. So it should be a great game, a game that Ben Davis is pretty strong around the basket, but Fishers has so many weapons. They go nine deep. They've all contributed game-winning shots and or game-winning plays as Fishers gone to a 28-1 season this year. And meanwhile, this Ben Davis team, you got Zachary, you've got Wyndham, who's a great player going to Northwestern, and Mark White a little bit. But otherwise, it's all new faces to varsity basketball, where Fishers knew they had everyone returning with Keenan Gardner getting better. And even though they did lose Jalen Harrelson, they still had a lot in the tank, and their chemistry is just tremendous. They've lost only one game. That was at Carmel in February. I hate to say a win or a loss sometimes can help you, but I think, in Coach Weininger's case, may have got him focused just a little bit more, because I had an undefeated team once, and there's times I think back when we got that sectional, I wish we would have had a loss maybe just to refocus them. And but in any case, we're talking about a team that Ben Davis that did not have a loss last year, 33-0. What an unbelievable season. So this is going to be a great finale at Gainbridge tomorrow night.
He's Pete Smith. Make sure you tune in on the IHSA Champions Radio Network doing the 3A and 4A championship games tomorrow. And, Pete, again, congratulations on the great honor of being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, Coach, thank you, and thank you for reaching out and asking me to talk about the two games that I get to call tomorrow. That's the best part of being a retired coach. If you still follow the game like I do, you can – maybe still get to go in free and maybe get a free popcorn now and then and talk about the game. And I'm very, very blessed to do that. I love basketball.
Well said. Pete, thanks. I'll see you down there. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Purdue moves on. They win tonight 80-68 over Gonzaga. With me, the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, Rob Blackman. Rob, I know you're busy. Thanks for squeezing us in. This is a pretty impressive win tonight.
Yeah, especially playing in a Gonzaga team that, Purdue had beaten earlier in the season, but that was back in November in a really tightly contested game. And Gonzaga, I mean, they came into this thing when they won 16 of their last 18, so they came in red hot. So Purdue knew they were going to have their hands full, and they certainly did, especially in that first half. I thought a big stretch there was that last minute of the half when Purdue pushed the lead out to 4 to go into halftime. And then the first 4 minutes of the second half when Purdue jumped on them early right out of the gate and pushed the lead out to 9. I thought those were really the two biggest stretches of the game. And, Gonzaga has been to 9 straight Sweet 16s. Mark Few is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best in the business.
Sure.
So anytime if you can beat Mark Few, not once in a season but twice, then you're doing something right, because that Gonzaga program is absolutely one of the elite programs in the nation.
I thought that the Boilers, they were, to me, were impressive in the sense that when Gonzaga would make a run, you know, they were able to counter it. They never let them get it bumped up, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, maybe once or twice. But they were able to match runs with runs, and they just stayed steady. They didn't get outside of themselves, stayed within what the plan is. And I was impressed with how they just continually were able to continue to grind it out against a very good Gonzaga team at both ends.
Yeah, so good point on the scoring runs. The largest run of the game for Gonzaga was 6 points. They never had a run more than six. And that's a significant number because Purdue, the worst run that Purdue's given up all year is a 14-point run. And wouldn't you know it, that was against Gonzaga back in November. that's the one team that actually put a pretty good string together against Purdue. So Purdue knew going into the game that Gonzaga is certainly more than capable of putting together a 10, 12, 14-point run. So that's a great point by you to just never let Gonzaga, you know, just get out there and get going, especially in their transition offense. They're one of the best transition offense teams in the country, and they had 5 fast break points tonight. So Purdue was doing something well there to hold those guys to just 5 fast break points.
Make sure you don't tell people I know what I'm talking about, please. Don't let that secret out.
we won't let that secret out there.
Try not to let that secret out. I was also impressed. Hey, they shot the ball well too. I mean, they really did. You know, you talk about complimentary players. Basically, everyone except Zach Edey is complimentary, if you will, and they all played really, really well, I thought.
Well, Purdue, the best three-point shooting team in the country at 40% from three, just under 41. And tonight, Purdue goes 45%. But the really significant numbers there, Fletcher made 2 threes. Braden made 2 threes. Lance made 2 threes. Mason made 2 threes. So it's not like it was just one guy who was getting all the buckets from beyond the arc, which, of course, makes you a little easy to guard at that point. All of Purdue's perimeter players were making open three-point shots when they had the opportunity. Camden Heidi made a three. So it wasn't the 9 made threes as much as it was that you had all those different guys that were making the three-point shots for you. And that, of course, just makes life for Zach Edey so much easier down there in that low post.
Yeah, and officials continue to let people just punish the poor guy. And how he's able to maintain his composure, quite frankly, is stunning to me.
He was fouled 9 times tonight, shot 10 free throws. And here, now listen, Purdue only shot 10 free throws as a team, and Zach shot all 10 of them. He was 7 of 10. No one else on the team attempted a free throw all night.
Yeah, I'm sure that Matt's past the point of talking about it because nobody's listening. And, that's just how it goes. Do we know the game ahead of the game going on now determines who they'll play in their next timeout, right?
Correct. Yep. Tennessee Creighton, they're playing right now. I have not checked that score, but yes, whoever wins that one, Purdue will play them Sunday for a chance to go to the Final Four.
Man, oh man. If I'm everybody. No, go ahead.
It feels good. Feels good just to say that phrase right there, Bob.
Doesn't it?
Just to say
There won't be a lot of sleep between now and then. you know what I mean? Tennessee's up 18-14. Listen, play the way you're playing. Just keep playing. Do what you do. I'm sure that's a mantra that Matt and his guys have. Just do what you do. Play the way you're capable of playing. If you do that, we'll be fine. I mean, that's not lip service. That's true. If they just play the way they're capable, they'll be fine.
Yeah, Purdue's won 32 games this year. They're 32-4. They're a number one seed for a reason.
Yeah.
If Purdue should be in good shape on Sunday.
Oh, come on, Sunday. hurry up and get here. Seriously, you know what I mean? I know we all need some sleep. I know I do. You do. And the guys do. Get some rest. But come on, Sunday. Let's get here.
Coaches, I'm sure they'd like a few extra hours here in the next couple of days because, as you know, they're burning the midnight oil breaking down that game film tonight to get ready for that game Sunday.
Right. Well, they have two different teams to prepare for because, you know, Tennessee will guard you. They'll guard you as well as anybody in the country. And Creighton can score from my house. They can knock it down, even down here in Johnson County. So it'll be fun.
It's a great irony. Yeah, two very different teams. Now, remember Tennessee and Honolulu earlier this year in the championship game of that Maui Invitational.
But
you're right. Tennessee, really good on defense. Creighton, really good on offense. You're right.
All right, go celebrate. Go get some rest. Rob Blackman, you're the best. Thanks so much for the call.
You bet. Thanks, Bob.
Stolen by Nembhard, and there's an authoritative dunk. Siakam in on the right side, a 12-point run, a 19-point lead with 3.5 to go.
That is Mark Boyle and Eddie Gill on the Pacers Radio Network as Indiana defeats the Los Angeles Lakers 109-90. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. The Pacers now stay in the sixth seed, but they're only one game back from the fifth seed with Orlando losing to the Los Angeles Clippers 100-97 tonight as well. That would make Indiana a playoff team rather than a play-in team. We're getting you set for a big day of high school basketball tomorrow where we will crown four champions of the IHSAA. In the Class 1A games, Fort Wayne Canterbury will take on Bethesda Christian. In 2A, it's Wapahani versus Brownstown Central. In the Purdue prospect, Jack Bentor at 12:45. Then in 3A, South Bend St. Joseph and Scottsburg. And in 4A, Fishers and Ben Davis. Ben Davis is looking to become the first back-to-back state champions in 4A since Lawrence North from 2003 to 2006 when they three-peated early in that decade. In men's college hoops right now, Tennessee has taken a 2-point lead over Creighton 29-27. The winner of that game will face Purdue on Sunday, who moves on to the Elite Eight after an 80-68 win over Gonzaga. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, 114th Annual IHSA Boys Basketball State Finals, presented by the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Fever tomorrow at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I'm working with this guy tomorrow. Kurt Darling joins me from the IHSAA Champions Network and WIBC, award-winning journalist, one of the best young sportscasters we have. How are you, Kurt?
Coach, it's like Christmas Eve, man. We're gonna have a big day tomorrow, so certainly very excited.
All right, so you and I are doing 2A, right?
Well, I will be joining
you're
you
doing 2A.
The
1A
members
broadcast.
And the other media in the room. Please note that there.
You know, I was beaten.
Say that again.
Jones.
Hello?
And Zach Edey, Coach. If you wouldn't.
Yeah. Somehow, Kurt, are you there?
I'm here.
Catching. Yeah. Kurt, what? So you're doing the 1A game, right? Or no, you're doing 2A.
Yeah, that's right, Coach. Sorry, yeah, I was getting some feedback there. Anyway, what the plan will be, I will be joining you at the end of the 1A broadcast because your broadcast partner tomorrow for 1A, Mark Forrester, will have to jump off to do the local broadcast for the 2A game immediately after. And so I will be calling it tomorrow's 2A game with Jan Bozier and JoJo Gentry.
Outstanding. Well, that's my loss. It's their game. It's my loss. So tell me, I think this game, I'm excited. I'm excited about all the games. This one, I think, might be really, really special.
Yeah, Coach, no doubt about it. And obviously the metrics right off the bat tell you that this is probably going to be a very competitive game just because it's the only game of the four in which it is the number two team in the state pitted against the number one team in their respective class,
right.
Wapahani being number two and Brownstown being number one. Brownstown Central looking for their first state championship. They've been here now four times, including this year, but haven't really been able to get over that hump. Meanwhile, Wapahani being on the other side, you have that really cool story about them that really coming overcoming adversity with the severe weather that hit Delaware County earlier this month, and now they're overcoming that and getting it to this stage. And so it's going to be a special game tomorrow for both of these teams.
I think it is. So when you look at this game, Brownstown Central with Jack Benner, you have Isaac Andrews with Wapahani, two tremendously talented players. But these teams are more than just those two guys, but these are the guys that make the engine run, so to speak.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Coach. And interestingly enough, those two guys are AAU teammates during the summer. They travel on the same team throughout the U.S. So they know each other really well. And so it'll be interesting to see how they match up. But they will not be guarding each other. It'll be interesting to see how they change up that. But one of the other guys to watch out for Brownstown Central is going to be Parker Heyman. He's averaging 11 points per contest. He's the all-time school record holder in assists. So he's going to be helping out Benter an awful lot in that regard. And then you have other guys like Camden Bell for Wapahani, averaging 13 points a contest. He has a season high of 31 points that he had earlier this year, so he knows how to score. He's going to be the one guarding Benter for when they go up against Brownstown. So, but Isaac Andrews, like you said, though, Coach, he's the quiet leader of this team. Not exactly sure where he's going to go to school yet next year, but it's a plethora of good players on both sides of the ball.
So when you look at this game, both teams can put – the thing that intrigues me about the matchup is that you have guys who can all – they can have five guys on the court who can all pass it, handle it, shoot it. They can open the court, play, open post. They're just so hard to guard. Both these teams are difficult to guard. And then the other part of this game that's intriguing to me is what's going to happen with pace. I mean, pace is going to be a big, big thing in this game.
Well, and when I was talking with Coach Matt Luce of Wapahani at Media Day a couple weeks ago, he said that one of the big things of their offense is ball control. They like to control the pace.
Right.
So, but it's going to be really challenging when you have a Brownstown team that can literally score from all five positions. So they like to do the same thing as well.
Hey, can you hang on through this short break?
Sure can, Coach.
Perfect. Kurt Darling will come back with us, and we'll talk more basketball on Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Boys, state finals tomorrow. It seems like it's taking forever. Yeah, we had an extra week. We got that. We understand that. Bethesda Christian and Fort Wayne Canterbury start the day at 10:30 for the 1A championship, followed by the Brownstown Central Wapahani matchup. That's number one, Brownstown versus number two, Wapahani. After that, the evening session starts with the 3A championship game between Scottsburg and South Bend St. Joe. And the nightcap, the finale of the weekend, Ben Davis will play Fishers for the 4A championship. Kurt Darling from the IHSA Champions Radio Network and award-winning journalist from WIBC, our flagship station, will be on the call for the 2A battle between Brownstown Central and Wapahani on the radio portion of the Champions Network. I talked about Isaac Andrews and Jack Benner, AAU teammates. The story with Wapahani, Kurt, you're a newsman. Selma, where Wapahani's located, massive damage because of a tornado on Thursday night before the semi-state. The story is, in some respects, a feel-good story because of the joy that these guys have brought to a community racked by a tornado.
Yeah, Coach, and it goes beyond the basketball court in and of itself. Of course, them having to go play in that semi-state at Lafayette the day after the tornado ripped through their community is certainly something that is something that's really, really hard to take. But, Coach, a lot of these kids also have made it an effort to actually help out off of the court as well.
Sure,
in fact,
sure,
in particular, Isaac Andrews and also Eli Andrews as well. They made an effort to get the team together to actually go out and help some people who were impacted by the tornado clean up their houses and kind of get things put back together a little bit. They made that an effort in the days following that semi-state victory. So, yeah, they relished in the victory, but they also made sure that they were good citizens as well. I think that's a really cool thing.
You know, Matt Luce, their coach, is a great story, great coach. His son plays on the team. You know, these guys have been his friends since they were in the first grade. I mean, it's just a joyous story when you think about it.
Yeah, Coach, and now they're going to have to refocus it on into the biggest game of their life. You know, it's going to be tomorrow, and they've certainly had a lot of support from a lot of different people. The American right. Legion Post, in particular, where they go to eat every week. Believe it or not, they get cheeseburgers, chicken tenders, and French fries. That's a really good diet for a high school athlete, I would say the least. So, but yeah, they are riding some momentum, to say the least, both from their community support and from their accolades on the basketball court as well.
Well, you're hopeful that they get that pregame ready for tomorrow. Kurt, darling,
oh, yeah.
It's great to talk to you. Thank you for doing this. You need to get some sleep. I'll see you tomorrow bright and early. Have some fun and have a good time tomorrow.
Sounds good, Coach. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks so much. Kurt Darling from the IHSA Champions Radio Network. He's a tremendous, tremendous talent. He's a great guy. Glad to have him with us. Fun day tomorrow out at Gainbridge. If you can't be there, make sure you watch it on the IHSA Champions Network or listen on the IHSA Champions Network. This is Indiana Sports Talk.